I guess we're live now.
Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, I've got to tell you, this is the earliest I've ever done a show. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast in New Jersey, and it's gorgeous out today. And my guest, without further ado, who I'm going to introduce right now, is none other than the one and only renegade musician, a Jersey guy, Joe D'Angelo. So welcome, Joe.
How you doing, Nancy? good morning.
Although it's just, and,
it is afternoon here
good.
In Texas, but I usually don't get out of my coffin until about 2-3 o'clock. So it's still early for me.
Yeah, well, the thing is that I was just about to say that Joe's in Dallas, Texas, and that's like an hour difference. So it's actually it's only 2 o'clock for him, and it's 3 o'clock here in New Jersey. I always do my shows at 5:30 in the evening, but it really doesn't matter because they're all archived anyway, so people can listen to them. And once I get off this interview, I'll be promoting it all over, like maybe to 10 pages tonight, and then the rest takes me about an hour and a half because I re-promote the whole interview all over again. So it's a lot of work, but I love it. So with that, I'm going to ask you the first question. Welcome to my show, Joe. Oh, my God, I'm just going to give a little intro. Joe is a renegade musician. I love that. He's also a singer.
That's the truth. That's exactly what I am, is a renegade. That's absolutely true.
I think I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel without a cause. So anyway, he is a singer, songwriter, drummer, and pianist. And he just released, now is this your second album or your first or your third or what is it?
Tigers, Ghosts, and Love Songs, that's my first album. That was officially released in December 1st of 2020. That's my first album.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had a single release in December, too. It was a single, though. The album I did was like 10 years ago. It was a compilation CD. But anyway, congratulations on releasing your first album. Oh, and, you know, when I met you, it was at least 10 years ago. And I think where I met you was at a place that was then called Asbury Blues, and it was in Asbury Park, of course. And you were drumming. I don't know who you were drumming with, though, because you play with so many musicians.
Oh, probably. That was. I know that picture of you and I thought it was at McLoone's, but maybe it was at Asbury
that
Blues, and I was
McLean.
Playing with the.
No, that.
Probably with.
That was
probably with Sandy Mac.
Picture of us. Okay.
Yeah, probably
Sandy
playing with. Sandy Mac. Sandy Mack and he started the jams then. Yeah, he started the jams,
right,
and probably
exactly.
Sandy Mack and Mark Ribbler. Probably Mark Ribbler was on that gig. Bruce Wackert, a bunch of us. Yeah, they were fun times.
Yeah,
down there.
Well,
they were fun times.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, he's still doing that. And I did sing. I did sing that night. I always sang when I went to Asbury Blues, and I would do a blues tune, Stormy Monday Blues, even though I'm known as a country rockabilly singer. But anyway, getting back to your album, as requested. And I did, I mean, I have every CD from every musician that's ever been graced my radio show. I listened to your entire 10-song album last night, and I must say that I really enjoyed it. And,
okay, that's
but I
good.
Wanna
that's
get
good.
Back
it's always
to,
good.
Yeah. So I'll get back to talking about your album, but I want to first say, not that I'm the biggest critic in the world, because I'm not, but and I have a story about that, too. I asked one person in my entire life if they liked a song of mine. It was my most recent release, and I'm sorry that I asked her, because she sent me like 2 paragraphs of she hated it. Anyway, I'll get back. So my first question to you, since the show is about you. Oh, and at any time you can interrupt me. Go, hey, Nancy,
okay.
It's Joe up in Texas, and it's my show today. Okay, so my question is, who influenced you the most while growing up, and why?
The biggest influence, really, first, hearing music and singing, that's my dad, my father, who was just an absolutely incredibly good jazz singer. He sang opera. He was singing Italian. He, you know, very much a jazz singer and a crooner, you know, kind of in the vein of like Tony Bennett, Sinatra, Mel Torme, you know,
right.
Nat King Cole, that kind of stuff. But then he sang opera as well, and he was singing, he spoke fluent Italian. So there was always music on. So I got turned on to to jazz very early. I could actually play jazz on the drum set before I could play rock. And my first love is still jazz. I always wanted to be a New York jazz drummer, but fortunately I was able to sing, so I was able to do some other things, and unfortunately I was able to sing, so I wasn't able to follow my love of jazz because I ended up playing so much rock and roll. But now my dad was my biggest, he was the first influence, yeah, with all the different, he listened to so much, so many different types of music, so always music playing in the house. And my mom sang too. My mom, she could certainly hold a good tune, so there was always music playing in the house, all the time.
Well, that's exactly the way I grew up, exactly. And there were seven of us. I mean, by the end of my mother's having children, there ended up to be seven of us. But it was Billy, my oldest brother, who, as you know, was a jazz blues guitarist.
I remember Billy,
Some of the Monument in Asbury, and unfortunately, Billy passed the end of January from COVID-19. He is sorely missed by the Asbury, not only Asbury Park scene and his loving family, but people all over the country, because he was... the lead, talk about jazz and blues, he was the lead jazz player, guitar player with the James Cotton Blues Band. They went on tour for a year and a half. And then he was the one of the lead guitarists with Clarence Clemons and Red Bank Rockers. But back to you and your jazz, you're loving the jazz and blues. So I grew up listening to that music. My mother was a singer, so very similar situation. The music was going, the Victrola, whatever you want to call it, in those days, the old vinyls.
Yeah, we had an old, we had an old Zenith, you know, the old consoles, and everything was on there. The other person who influenced me quite a bit was my older sister, Linda, and she at that time, there's 16 years between us, my older sister and I, and hell, I'm going to be almost 60, so I'll be 59 in July. So Linda's got to be in her mid-70s now. I probably shouldn't say that live on air, but that's my sister. She knows
no,
I'll do
right.
stuff
hey,
like
I'm
that.
I'm proud of how old I am.
But she, at that time, she was very much into the early 60s folk scene because she was in high school at the time. She was very much into Joan Baez and Peter Paul and Mary and Dylan and the Christy Minstrels and the Kingston Trio. So I was picking up all of her albums when I was a little kid. And I was listening to all that stuff, and I loved the harmonies, the vocal harmonies. So that was a huge influence on me, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, she got into the Ventures and everything. I hear all the electric guitars, but those early...
breaking up a little bit on your end, so I just want to try to correct the audio. Can you just, as you're holding your telephone, can you hold it where the vocal... the voice box, like the bottom of your phone, is away from your mouth a little bit so that there's not any feedback, and try that.
Oh, okay.
And see
I'm
if
probably talking
it,
too loud.
I'm not sure what's happening, but it's like kind of breaking up a little bit. And it wasn't to begin with. So, and you have to hold the phone very, you know, you can't move it around at all either. Are you in
your
room?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of holding it still. Yeah, no, I'm right in my living room, and everything's quiet. I've got the air conditioner turned off. Can you hear me better now?
Okay, that's better. That's better, yes. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody hears you loud and clear, and it's not, like, wobbling. It was wobbling, so maybe the phone was a little close to your mouth or the volume was too loud.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm doing? I know what I'm doing. I'm pacing. I'm walking back and forth. So let me sit down.
Oh, no, you cannot. Joe, you can't walk around while you're doing a radio show. You're so funny. I got to tell you, folks, you know what Joe said to me before we started the show? He goes, and I thought I had a comedian on once, and he said, and I told him I was a night owl. He goes, Nancy, you're no night owl. You're a vampire. Because I told him I went to bed 3:30 in the morning. Talk to Joe. Joe says to me, I just got out of bed. I usually get up. I go to bed 5:00 in the morning, and I'm like, holy moly. So he's having his coffee. So that's
yeah,
the deal.
I am, yeah. Like,
I thought I was bad.
I'm, fresh out of the coffin with my coffee right now. Yeah. So
okay,
I'll sit down. I pace back and forth when I speak on the phone a lot, like a tiger in a cage. I don't know why, but I just do. But no, I'm at the kitchen table now. I should be okay.
Yeah, this is, excuse me. Yeah, you have to stay perfectly still. It's like something that I learned over the years because I have that type of energy as well, where, when I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to the world. I toss and turn a few times at night, but other than that, once I'm up, even if I'm sitting down, I'm crocheting, I'm writing, I'm doing bills, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I can never just sit still. I can't. My mother used to say, Nancy, you have St. Vitus dance, or I don't know what they called it in those days, but I had too much energy. So getting back to your new album. Oh, and so anyway, Joe was here for a long time, and I met him. I did meet you probably before you played at the Supper Club, but then we had that picture, and I was so happy we had that one picture. Because I have pictures of almost everybody that's been on my show, but I don't usually use them. So this was a fun thing. I think I put a picture of me with J.T. Bowen up once, and Vinny Lopez. I put a picture of Vinny and me up when I had him on my show a few times. And
right.
Anyway, so that was a really great picture of us, though. Whoever took that photo.
It was a good one, yeah, because you know how pictures can be sometimes. No, I'm glad that one came out. It came out pretty good.
Yeah, it was an awesome one. So it was by one of the local photographers that always show up at the shows. So getting back to your album, you know, congratulations. And you did tell me some of your players. You answered my question, and I have some more questions. So you mentioned that your sister was influenced as well. How many? Do you have any other siblings?
Just my sister and I. And they were, like I said, we're 16 years apart, so I was a midnight pleasure. Nobody planned on me. They didn't expect me, so, but I'm glad I came out. I'm doing okay.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah, that's great. And I say to you, I have other friends that have three sons, and I always go, well, you can really, and there was a movie years ago when I was growing up, and it was called My Three Sons. I don't remember who the actor was, but it was a really good show. I remember watching it.
Oh, that's Fred McMurray.
That.
Yeah,
you
I remember My Three Sons. Yeah, My Three Sons. Yeah, that's right.
Sons.
I do have three sons, right. All musical, too.
And you have a middle nut. One of your sons is named after my family, Ryan. Everybody
that's
wants
correct,
to be
Ryan.
A Ryan.
Yeah,
very popular
Ryan,
name.
God bless him. Yeah, he's a captain in the Army. Yeah, he's doing very well. I just saw him a couple weeks ago.
Well, congratulations.
Say again, Nancy, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that I remember that your older son is a musician, and he's a drummer as well, right? Because I think I remember seeing him play here in Jersey. Your older
son. Johnny D'Angelo. Yeah, Johnny, he's down here in Texas with us right now, but he's going to be going up to Nashville probably in the new year. He's been down here for the last 2 years in Texas hanging out down here with us. He was with Billy Walton, the Billy Walton Band, for 8 years. And
right.
He's played with a million people. He used to play. He played with Matt O'Ree, and he's just like me. He's same thing. You know, he's a chameleon, and he runs around playing with everybody. But he did a long stint there with Billy Walton. Did a lot of tours over in Europe. God, I think he's been over in Europe about 40 times with them.
That's awesome.
So he's a great player. God bless him. Yeah, he's really good. You know, got mentioned in Modern Drummer magazine, and he's real good.
Yeah, I've seen him play, but so are you. So you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
He was whipping my butt at 16 years old. They were already using him to sub, and I remember got Billy Hector called him a couple times. I think he was only about 19 or 20. You know, and Billy's great. I used to play with Billy. He came to me. He'd get a hold of Johnny and, you know, Sonny Ken and, you know, so he was starting to sub for me at about 17 because my wife would have to drive him to the shows. I don't even think he had his driver's license at the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's real
That's
good.
Awesome.
He's real good.
Well, God bless your wife. She's an angel because I know for myself, I mean, being a musician myself, I mean, I play guitar and stuff like that, very little piano. Oh, and I want to get talking about your album in a minute, but I have a few more questions first.
Okay.
And now I forgot. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. But first of all, number one, your wife's lovely. And number two, I may have met her once in my life, but I know what it must be like to be married to a musician because call my sister-in-law, Michelle, who was married to my brother, Billy, and they were together 50 years. I always said, you're a saint. You're a saint.
Yeah.
Because I can remember
big time
saying, Billy, if you bring one more guitar into this house, and she's Italian. It's so funny. It's like my older brother married an Italian. I married an Italian. My younger sister, Peggy Sue, married an Italian. So there's a lot of Irish, German, Austrian, and your wife is very fair with blonde hair. So what's her nationality?
She is mostly French and English, but it's interesting because I'm half Irish and Italian. You know, that's a very common combination up there.
It is.
Because a lot of that was because of the church. You know, when the early immigrants come over, they were all Catholic. You know, so everybody meets in the church like that. So I was telling some a lot of people down here in Texas that being Italian and Irish, that's a very common combination. Up in Jersey, New York, and Philly, you know, where I come from, because it had to do with a lot of the Catholic Church and everything. But now my wife is, God bless, she's great. She's very supportive. She always has been. Not only supportive of me, but very supportive of our children, you know, with music careers and stuff like that. Yeah, she's great. It's not easy to be married to a musician. You know, we're out all night, you know. Yeah, we're never around. You know, a lot of us have no money. You know, so it's not an easy thing.
It's not married to us. It isn't. It happens. You know, I learned my lesson. Of course, like I always said, oh my gosh, I'll never marry a musician, or I'll never, because I knew what the life was. But my father. He kept a really short leash on my mom because he kept impregnating her. So she was always pregnant, but he would take my mother to like the Berklee Carteret. Even when Judy Garland was singing at the Berklee, my mother was singing on WJLK radio, and she was singing in church and sang in church till she couldn't anymore. She was in her 70s, late 70s when she stopped. And she went to church every Sunday and belonged to the Rosary Society. But getting back to the Italian-Irish deal, I think that we not only because of immigrating into New York, but also I think we have similar backgrounds. We're always like... Like in California, when I moved there, nobody understood my communication style because I didn't have one. Because you talk, everybody talks at the same time. And
totally, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, that's...
And it's like just Irish are the same way, you know. And and I think what attracts Italians and Irish is that the Italians a lot, like my ex-husband, Frank, he was a total 100% Italian family. So they unfortunately they were not fond of me, and they called me the Irish tomato. So anyway, that's just the way it went. And my father, I shouldn't say this maybe, but no, I don't mean anything bad by it. I just think it's funny. My father, I was his first princess. I was his first daughter. You know, it was Billy and then me, and then a million others. But he said, my father always wanted me to, like, marry rich. Like, because my father took really great care of us and of my mother and all of his children. And so he wanted me to marry rich so that I would have a really good life and have the best in life, and that's what he gave us all. So I didn't do that, though. I didn't. I married the poorest guy that I could meet on the other side of the tracks. And so my parents were just as equally upset with our getting married. But we have a gorgeous daughter, and I have two children.
Well, that's good. Well, you know,
I married my high school sweetheart. And we have a gorgeous daughter that's Irish. Well, I'm Irish, German, Austrian, and she's Italian. She's Irish, German, Austrian, Italian. So... anyway, okay, getting back to you, Joe. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
See, I could pace, but I can't even pace myself in my brain. I think my brain runs 100 miles an hour, and I'm thinking about things.
Oh, that's all right.
You're
doing fine, Nancy. You're doing fine. All good.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so getting back to you, first of all, you were always so much fun to watch play. Because you're very a very demonstrative. I'll put it this way. I have seen so many darn bands in my lifetime because, as you know, I am getting up there in age. And I was really at so many concerts. And I was I'm writing a book right now because I had a boyfriend that was in the music business, and they own one of the biggest music stores up in Union City. and he would take me to all these concerts. So I, you know, was really close to David Bowie, and oh my God, I was on stage with Leonard Skinner. I picked up Peter Frampton and took him to our concert he played at. So I have literally, like, and I had backstage passes for all of them. I'd stick them on my jeans. But to get back to you and watching, it's very important. Like, I like to watch bands, and I like to see their personality. What I love about your album, first of all, is that now the world's going to know, like, people that hadn't heard you sing, and like me, hadn't heard your music. So many people, like, I had Ricky Bird on, and he was with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And I said, holy moly, when I listened to his album, he's the only other guy, I think, that I listened to his whole album. No, I listened to Matt O'Ree's album. I only listened to a few, though, and I've got a million from 9 years of radio. But anyway, I was going to say this. When I listened to Ricky Bird, I had the same feeling as when I listened to your album last night. I said, holy moly, I just knew he was a great lead guitar player. I didn't know that he could sing. I didn't know that he could write such great songs. And now he just released his second album. So when I listened to you last night, it was just so refreshing. And I wrote down some of the songs, and I'd like to take the liberty of saying some of the songs that were my favorites. And I kind of...
Okay, sure.
I'm working with a guy, that a young kid, he's 25, Kyle Ward, and we just released our second single together, and he's producer as well on my music, because he does so much. And so I'm giving him that. And I got to say I'm trying to think of what I wanted to say. Yeah, I just, when you find out how super multi-talented these each individual artists are in, like, these big bands, you don't know until they do release an album. So I'm so happy that you did this. So some of the, and I thought I heard, you know, I mean, of course I heard country. I mean, you're in Texas now for 6 years, so, you know, it's going to rub off. But what I really felt like I would say, and what I wanted to say is I did not graduate from any music school. I do not know how to write music. I mean, I write the melody. I remember it. I put the slashes. I write the lyrics. I write the melodies. But I can't write the notes or anything like that. And so I don't know where I'm going.
Well, me neither sometimes. Kyle, me neither sometimes. I struggle
Kyle,
with that.
Kyle is, though. He's a graduate of the Berklee Academy of Music in Boston. So, like, he does it all. So he not only played almost every – and I want to not talk about us. I want to talk about you. So getting back to your album, I want to focus, and it's very hard for me to focus with this brain of mine. I wrote down some of the songs that I said, oh, my God, this sounds to me like what was – my sister said to me last week, or somebody said to me, oh, I know who it was. Susan, you remember a guy called T.T., Too Tall Tom? He was like 6'5". He was, I love the slide guitar. Oh, my God. The slide guitar in your music, was that done on a regular guitar or was that a pedal steel?
Well, it depends what song you're talking about, because there is pedal steel and there's slide guitar. Any slide guitar, the only slide guitar that's really on there is the slide guitar on a song called Drinking from the Bottle of Tolerance. It's more of an acoustic, almost like a back porch blues. That's Matt O'Ree playing a slide on that. Okay. Matt did a lot of the guitar work on it. It sounds great. Yeah, he did a killer job. The other stuff, the first song off the album is In the Loving South, and that's pedal steel you're hearing on there. That's Mitchell Smythe, a big pedal steel player down here in Texas. He's played with a lot of big people. I got three pedal steel players on that album. One is Mitchell Smythe, the other is Jerry Steele. Jerry Steele from, he's right from Jersey, from Princeton. He plays with Best of the Eagles and everything. He played with Emmylou Harris and Buddy Miller. So Jerry's on that.
Wow.
And then also I have Lloyd Maines is on one of the cuts with Jerry, a song called One More Time. And Lloyd Maines is Natalie Maines' father from the Dixie Chicks. Lloyd's an excellent pedal steel and anything with strings on it, these guys. Most of these guys, when they're playing pedal steel, they can play guitar, they can play everything else. So he did a lot of the work on there, too. So there's three different pedal steel players on that album.
Right. Yeah, I really love the – I mean, I love the slide guitar. I had a younger brother, Bobby, my Irish twin, and he passed away, unfortunately, 10 years ago. But he was one of the best slide guitarists probably in the country. And when the Allman Brothers, one of the Allman Brothers died, he actually drove to Georgia. And then he chickened out. So he was shy, though. So a lot of people didn't get to hear the genius of my brother Bobby, who was a singer-songwriter and one of the best guitar players. You know, I mean, he could keep up with my brother Billy, definitely, with no problem whatsoever. And he played a lot more slide guitar than Billy. My brother Billy didn't play much slide guitar. But anyway, I loved all, of course, the instrumentation was great. And you played the piano, I'm taking it, and I really enjoyed the piano in your music, too. But when you mentioned the song One More Time, that's one of the songs that I picked out that was one of my favorite songs on the album.
That's about my wife. That's about my wife, actually. Yeah, that song
I know it, written for my wife. And I really love that. I really love that because, well, it's such an emotional song, and it really talks about the love and the great union that you have together. And it's just, it's an awesome song. So that was my number one pick for the album. I'm putting number one now. I have it checked out. When you mentioned it, I had written them down, the songs that I really – I mean, I like the whole album. Don't get me wrong. But, of course, I did have some favorites. Another song that I really liked a lot, too, was Better Men. I thought that was really cool.
Thank you. That's kind of in honor of – yeah, that's that song, Better Men, is really kind of in honor of my dad and his generation, but it really applies to anybody who will pick up a rifle or a sword or whatever, a book,
right,
and fight for their cause. You know, it takes mm-hmm. it takes a lot of courage to fight for whatever it is you believe in. But there was a lot of thought going back to my dad's generation on that one. And Matt played guitar on that. Matt, he just did some really killer guitar work on that one. The piano at the end, the solo piano, is actually done by Kirk Hampton. I'm playing all rhythm piano. All the rhythmic piano, all the chords is me, but the solo piano in that song is done by Kirk Hampton, and also on 4/4 and Hard Time, he did the B3, Hammond B3, and solo piano as well. Kirk's a great player down here in Dallas. He's one of our best keyboard players in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Right.
But that's a good tune. What's interesting, Nancy, is I found out that when you release an album, when an artist releases an album, it's not up to that artist anymore what they think is good. It's really up to the listener. You know, you have no control over it. Once it's out there, you may think you have a hit song, and somebody else is going, yeah, that's all right, it's okay. And meanwhile, the song that you thought was the lousiest was the worst song. Like, you know, dude, that's a really good song. So, you know, you can't tell sometimes what people are going to do. It's interesting. And I also see the difference between male and female fans. You know, like the men seem to love the song Better Men a lot. Chief Town also, which is about my hometown of Piscataway. But a lot of women, you know, they hear the love songs and everything. So it's pretty interesting, you know. And what I find out from when I see the results coming in, and CD Baby will send me stuff, and things from iTunes and things from Apple and everything, who bought the album. It's amazing how, you know, all of a sudden you can get on a streak where everybody likes the song Chief Town, and then the next week everybody likes 4/4 and Hard Time. You know, but you know what? So far, I've got no thumbs down, so that's a good thing.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to keep running with that, you know. I'm sure they're coming at some point. Somebody's going to say, this guy is terrible. But right now, I've seen no thumbs down, and it's been out there since December, so I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Yeah, I would be very happy and proud myself if I were you. And you've actually managed, you must have mental telepathy, because you've managed to name all of the songs that I have written down on my little card here. I have keep those little cards to write notes on. So you've mentioned every song that I have. Chief Town was another one that I liked. Born For, the one that you just talked about. Better Man, One More Time. That's just four. Let me see in my scribbling. I had scribbled down a bunch. I called it like, I heard like country, like a lot of kind of country blues in it, and I heard even some jazziness in some of the solos. But I'm, like I said, I'm not a Berklee graduate. I'm not an educated musician. I'm a like come from your heart, just put it out there, you know. And I'm
that's where I kind of come from too. I mean, a lot of times your ear musicians are generally your best feeling musicians and everything. You know, I write from the heart. It comes out. You know,
right.
I mean, basically, I guess what I'm trying to say in a lot of times on my songs is. I only started writing for the last 4 years, in all honesty, since I stopped drinking. So once I stopped drinking, it must have changed the brain chemistry in me, and all of a sudden this creativity came out, because before, I just wasn't a songwriter. I was always an accompanist, you know, a sideman.
That's awesome.
So I just come out, you know, basically my feelings, I think, are the same as most people, that they have the same feelings that I do. And I'm basically just saying, hey, you know, I know what that feels like, too. And so, you know, here's how I express it, and it just kind of comes out. The new album's got the same thing. This one's a little more rock and roll, but there's some interesting dark tunes on on the new album. That's
good.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through that. We got the rhythm tracks done, and that album that's titled Jive Asses and Gin Whores is the name of that album, but it's a good album. It's like I said, I've got going to be some great players on that one. But these songs here, this album, Tigers, Ghosts, and Love Songs, is a little more introspective. It's a little more about me, who I am. There's a lot of slow ballads on there talking about different things, my struggle with alcoholism and all kinds of other things,
right.
You know, love and
right.
And politics.
Well,
everything's on there,
that,
you know.
Right. Speaking of that, I really highly recommend, and I really did like your album, so I'm glad you asked me to listen to it, and I thought, when am I going to have time to do that? This is a busy week, but I definitely made the time, and I really was happy that I did, and I even sent it to my sister, who is also a singer, and I said, you know, listen to this, it's really good, and of course, I did promote it all over the world, the darn world, so I hope some good comes out for you.
No, I appreciate that.
Getting back to Texas, talking about Texas, I want to just say I've been writing. I started writing poetry as a child, and I started writing songs when I was 17 years old. And I've written over like 100 songs in my career. So I'm a troubadour, really. I really just kind of went around and sang in the parks and sang on the boardwalk and sang on the rocks. That's why they call me Ryan Rocks, because I would sit on the rocks. I have a picture of me standing up holding my guitar on the rocks. Then I was like, when the B-52s came out with Rock Lobster, I was a rock lobster because my dad had built boats and had lobster fishing boats, two of them, toward the, you know, when I was. So anyway, I said, oh, I'm just a rock lobster, I guess. I'm standing on the rocks playing guitar behind Convention Hall. And anyway, it was just, I only had one other person produce three of my songs. And I had the Nashville Players, and it was done at Quad Studio, and that cost a fortune. But before that, I had even produced my own music. But it was good because it got me on the Joey Reynolds Show. And I want to get off of myself. I just wanted to say that I was really fortunate, too, to have some great players. Like when you write music and you have good music and you play a great instrument, you attract some really great people, you know. And I, through being in Texas, I recorded 5 songs in Texas in Corpus Christi, and then I went up to Fort Worth. And I ended up getting, which was so awesome, and this guy said to me on the second song, did you write that? I go, well, yeah, I wrote all these songs. And he goes, what? I was so lucky. I had Mickey Gilley's nephew, Dennis Gilley, play keyboards for me on 5 of my songs. And I had this guy, Billy Jack Collard. Like, I went to all these different clubs in Texas, and I picked out individually, 5 different players. So it was so much fun, and I was staying with 2 musician friends from San Diego who really weren't from San Diego. My girlfriend, Stephanie Stevens, who's a jazz blues singer, she's from New York. But we met in California. I lived in San Diego for 28 years. But anyway, getting back to the music scene, yeah, it's just amazing. If you have the opportunity, to cut to the chase, please listen to Ricky Bird's first and second album. Ricky Byrne won't mind that I break his anonymity because he did on my shows. And he has dedicated his life. He got sober in 1987, and he will love the promo anyway, the shout-out. So I'm giving Ricky Byrne a shout-out. Please get a hold of his album. It's called Clean Getaway. Clean Getaway. And he's looking in
nice
the
name.
Rearview
I like
mirror.
That.
But in other words, he's looking back at his old life, you know, in 1987. So he's looking in the rearview mirror. That's the cover. And you will be the first song I don't think he wrote, and all the rest of them he did. And I was dancing in my kitchen to his music. Talk about great music. He's really awesome. So I haven't heard his second album yet, but his first one was good enough for me. So anyway, and he was great. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, so he was on my show, and it was great to have him, to promote him and his new lifestyle of sobriety, being sober, because, of course, I recommend that. Being a 60s generation gal from a redhead, nonetheless, from Asbury Park, New Jersey, it's a miracle that I have survived to this ripe old age of 74 and a half. Anyway, you wouldn't know it to look at me, though. I look so awesome. Anyway, Joe, so getting back, people are going to go, oh, that Nancy, she's such a pain in the urine. Anyway, getting back to you, it's so nice to have you on the show, Joe, from Dallas, Texas.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I almost got to go to Austin, but if I come to Austin, because Austin City Limits is, you know, a place I would love to once they open up again. I watch it all the time on PBS. I just love it, love it, because I get to hear so much great music. And but if I get there, I'm going to have to look you up in Dallas. Oh, I did go to Fort Worth. They offered me a contract to stay at Billy Bob's and play, but I said, no, I'm going back to California. And I was a party girl in those days. I'm just going back to California. I did what I came here to do. I spent a month and a half in Texas. It was hot as hell. No, thank you.
It's hot. It's hot out right now. It's about 98, almost 100 degrees. It's real hot, and it's actually humid today.
Yeah.
Dallas doesn't get too humid, not compared to Jersey humidity, but it's real hot today. But, you know, the interesting thing about Texas, the way I viewed it as a Jersey boy, and I'm going on 6 years down here now, each town's got its own kind of its own personality. Austin is definitely more of a singer-songwriter vibe that I've seen down there, singer-songwriter Americana, as compared to Dallas. Dallas got a lot of blues, because Stevie Ray, of course, came from Dallas, from Oak Cliff section of Dallas. So you got a lot of blues in Dallas. There's a lot of country in Fort Worth, and that was one of the things that I ended up falling into down here, was country music, which I had never played up in Jersey. I mean, we really don't play country music up in Jersey. We may think we do, but not compared to the Texans down here. I mean, this is the real deal.
Right.
And I had really had never experienced it. I wasn't a fan of country music, even though my pop would listen to it here and there, until I heard some of these guys live, guys like Jeff Hobson. I'm giving these guys a shout-out because they're great. Jeff Hobson, Brian Lynn Jones, who I'm actually playing with tonight, Jason Horn, Chuck Ligon. These guys are just absolutely great country singers, and I happened to fall into this because I was able to sing harmonies. They liked the way I played drums. And then when they found out that I could sing harmony, they're like, well, they said, well, hell, get that Yankee in there. He can sing.
Yeah.
You know? So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, you know, falling into the country music vein down here, which I absolutely love. So that's, I guess, on the album, I never thought in my life that I'd ever have a pedal steel, you know, in my on my albums or even in my band. And I just happened to fall in love with it. That's a natural, when you put a, at least the guys I've seen down here, the country guys I see, when they put a band together down here, the standard, you'll generally have a guy who plays acoustic guitar, and he's your singer, and he's your lead singer, and he's playing acoustic guitar. Then he's going to have a picker with him. He's going to have an electric guitar player who's a picker, okay? And then he's going to have a bass player, a drummer, and then they're going to have a pedal steel player before they have piano or fiddle or anything else like that. Pedal steel is going to be first. And that's generally what most of the country bands that I've seen down here, they always have a pedal steel guy. And I just fell in love with him, man. I guess I always liked the sound of it, but when I saw it live, man, it just, these guys floored me. And these bands, these country bands down here, they were playing old school country. I mean, a lot of old Buck Owens and Bob Wills and Lillian Whalen and all that.
Yeah,
Merle Haggard. I mean, these guys were swinging, man. I mean, the bands were swinging. So I automatically fell. And I just said, you know, man, I want to be part of this scene. And I was lucky enough to meet some really good players. And I'm very fortunate because it's turned me on to a whole new genre of music. The Texans are beautiful people, man. We love it down here.
I know. The people are
they're just,
great.
Native Texans, man. They're great people. And I say this,
yep.
you know what it's like to drive up New Jersey. You know, you drive with one hand on the steering wheel, and you're flipping the bird out the window on the other side. I think since I've been in Texas, I think I've only given the finger twice. So that's a good sign. You know, coming from New Jersey.
You don't do that anymore with COVID and with the road rage. And so you don't know whether you can't even tell anybody. Oh, excuse me, would you put your mask on? Oh no, because you could just as well get shot. You know, you got to be really careful. But anyway.
Well, right. In Texas, yeah, mostly. That's one of the things people. When I got down here, and then when I go back up to Jersey and visit my friends, they'd say, you know, what's it like? You know, in Jersey, you know, we think everybody from Texas was riding a horse and it's cowboys and bar fights.
And carrying a gun.
There is some of that, but there is definitely some of that, but it's not quite like that. It's a beautiful blend of people,
right.
But I think I've seen two bar fights since I've been down here. And I don't know if it's because everybody's carrying, but nobody gets, you know, they don't take a lot of this stuff seriously. But the attitude is different.
Yeah.
It's much more laid back. I certainly miss Jersey. There's no doubt about it. But I love it down here. This was a really good move for us. I'm going to be back up in Jersey in the middle of July in a couple of weeks because my best friend, his daughter's getting married, and we're going to be out on LBI hanging out there for a week. So I get to see my buddies that I grew up with there in Piscataway. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward.
Great. Well, if you make it down to Asbury Park, give me a call, and I'll pop over there. I'm 12 minutes away.
I may get down if I'll be back up in Jersey in October again because my youngest son is getting married. So, and then I'm going to stay up there. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to stay up there for a while, for maybe about a week afterwards, because I want to see some people, some friends in Asbury Park, Sandy Mack, his whole crew, Mark Ribbler, Jack Daly, and I have been talking. I wanted to possibly do some work with him. We've been working on a song together that I wrote for Bruce Wacker.
Right.
So I want to drop in on Jack's studio up there. I'm just shouting out some names, stopping to see Matt O'Ree. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to be hanging out there for the week up there.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I did get to hear Aaron Shule, too, who I promoted for so many years. I mean, I remember when I started, started getting into radio, it was after my mother passed away, and getting back to the music and listening to music growing up, I could not believe when my mother passed away, which was like 10 years ago, maybe 10 and a half years ago, I went through her album collection, and I didn't even see her whole album because there were boxes and boxes that my sister had taken just over to the antique shop because the antique shop in Allenhurst had a whole big library of old 78s and 45s, and she just donated them. But what was left, and there were a bunch on the front that they didn't want, and I looked through them, and I could not believe that my mother was listening to not just Barbara Streisand and Frank Sinatra and Mr. Bennett and all of those singers, but she also was listening to Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. She had such a wide variety of music. She had all of the show music. She had West Side Story. She had, it was just unbelievable. She even had Jackie Gleason. He was such a fabulous pianist. And she had all of his albums, his piano albums. She had Victory at Sea for my father, which was an instrumental, which is like an awesome album. And so I am the proud owner now of West Side Story. I have all of those 78s. That were my mother's, and I have an old Victrola. It's like one of those suitcase ones I bought. You can just open up and play. So one of these days, you know, when I'm 100 in a rocking chair, maybe I'll play them again. But I grew up listening to such a wide variety. Oh, and Nancy Wilson, she was a jazz singer. Edith Piaf, oh my God, my last song, I wanted to really sing it like Edith Piaf, who was a French singer in like the 30s. Famous singer, but I couldn't do it because I wanted a male vocal on it. And anyway, getting back to producing, I have always, I produce all of my music, and I've been really lucky. I've had Steely Dan.
Well, that's one thing.
I love producing.
That's one thing. one thing I should say
is
that
you produced your album, right? I mean, you would let people know what you wanted to hear. You produced it,
that's
right?
Correct, right? Yeah, it's one of the things that
cool.
I made a kind of a pact with myself, is that I kind of knew what I wanted. I mean, sometimes you're experimenting. That was my first album. It was done during COVID, so it wasn't necessarily easy to do, but I made a pact with myself that I'm producing my own albums. The only way that I would let somebody else produce my albums, you would have to – I mean, I'm negotiable to anything. But, I mean, if Paul McCartney called me and said, I want to produce you, I'm sure I'd be okay with that. But otherwise,
well, yeah,
I really – I don't want
–
Yeah, no, I have a real aversion to a lot of producers who will go in and tell an artist, well, here's how it should sound, and here's what I think he meant. And then, hey, you know what, dude, I wrote the song. I know how it should sound. I know exactly how I want it to go. So just beat it and get out of here. I'm not paying you nothing. And that's the way I am with it. I'm very strict with that. I won't let anybody else produce my work. It's mine.
Well,
I know what I want to hear.
You're from New Jersey. You can't tell anybody from New Jersey what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, somebody. One of the funny things down here, Nancy, is you know, and I'm keeping my language nice and neat and straight here on your show because I in Jersey every other word is the F bomb. You know, we drop the F bomb all the time.
Thank you so much.
So somebody.
That.
Oh, you're welcome. No. So somebody down here in Texas, they said, well, how come y'all curse so much in New Jersey? Every other word is F this and F that. Why y'all curse so much?
Right.
I said, because nothing would get done if we didn't curse. That's why. Nothing would get done in New Jersey if we don't curse. That's just the way it is. It's just the way things are. It starts in about kindergarten. Yeah, it starts in kindergarten, you know?
Well, I have a reply to that. All I can say is when you're down here in our territory, you don't dare say those words, and especially if there's a woman in the room. There's no curse.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to take out my pistol, and I'm going to teach you a lesson, boy. You better
I learned very quickly, that when I went, you know, that I'm certainly in part of the Bible Belt here. But, again, like I said, the Texans, man, they're beautiful. When they say – that Texas is friendly, they're not kidding. I mean, the native, they're just beautiful people. So, you know, if I'm playing out live, sometimes they'll say that I'm from Jersey, but now they usually introduce me that I'm from Dallas. I tell them right now, I said, I'm a proud legal Texan, and I feel really good about it. You know, my roots are always in Jersey, and I'll be buried in Jersey soil, no doubt about it. But I got to say, you know, they say, you know, we've got all these transplants coming in, and sometimes when I'm out playing, you know, I may meet somebody in a theater or club or something like that, and they'll say, oh, you know, they're from Jersey, New York, and they're thinking of moving down here, and I'm like, oh, geez, don't ruin the neighborhood. Everything's going good right now. We don't need any, you know, every dog knows his own, man. So you're like, oh, God, well, we don't need a bunch of Jersey people down here right now. but I love y'all, man. It's great.
I'll tell you. I left in my early 30s, one-way ticket. My brother Billy took me to the airport. I sent my daughter to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to her father's, and my oldest daughter stayed in New Jersey, and that's the way it went. And I, one-way ticket, landed in San Diego, stayed there 28 glorious years. So I consider San Diego my second home, and I loved it there. And I was like 10 minutes from the beach, 15 minutes into Tijuana. I love San Diego. I have a beautiful home out there, a great job, a great career. Sang a lot of music, sang at some great clubs, met B.B. King at the Burnt Tavern Saloon. I love the Stone Pony and I love Asbury and all that, but when I was in San Diego, forget about it. I met Greg Allman. I met Fleetwood Mac. I met so many awesome. Those are the bands that played in Solana Beach, which was like 15-minute drive for me from my home in Carlsbad. So I just have such great memories. I mean, I have great music memories from New Jersey, too, but everything happens for a reason, you know? And
sure, absolutely.
Back
here, without a doubt.
If I didn't come back here, I never would have, and I came back to take care of my mother. I in a moment, I say this, and I'm sorry, Mom, I say it this way, but in a moment of insanity, I said to my mother on the phone, Mom, if you ever need me, since I'm the oldest girl, I said, I'll come back, I'll come home. And everything fell on my sister Peggy, who was 10 years younger than I am. And she still had children in, you know, grammar school, and she was having to take care of my parents that were aging. And so I did come back when I was 55, but I retired for life then. So it was really awesome. I mean, I gave up a great career and a great house and all that, but I retired, and I haven't worked since, and I love being retired, and I loved taking care of my mom, and I got really involved in the music scene, giving back. I started my radio show to promote not-for-profits in the state of Asbury Park because I grew up in a time that was so fabulous. And it grew from there, and I started going to all the clubs, and that's when I met Matt O'Ree, Billy Hector. I met all those great artists, yourself, everybody, Sandy Mack. Well, you name them, I know them. And so it's
Well, I'm glad to be included in that group because that's a pretty high-end group you just named. So I'm glad
Mark Ribbler, I met at an open mic at the Mark Ribbler at the Supper Club, and I sang a blues. He wanted me to sing Stormy Monday Blues, and because I said, well, I could do a blues tune, and then he goes, I said, but I'm really a country rockabilly singer, and actually his set was so. Like, I waited for hours to sing with him, and he it was so upbeat and rock and roll. And I said, no, I really thought I'd like, if it's going to be a cover, I would really like to do Blue Suede Shoes, which has become my signature song when I sing out, Blue Suede Shoes. So that was one of my biggest influences, was Elvis Presley and, well, so many other bands, but. You know, so many other musicians, but yeah, I am definitely a rockabilly rocker, and now my music is even getting more. Somebody said, you know, you want to go into the Americana. You know what? This is what I got to share here. If you really want to get known, it seems to me, like the Americana. I don't even get what genre that is, but people that put that category on their music, it's, I don't know, maybe more, I'm not sure if I should just say I'm a country rockabilly.
Well, that's interesting. I'm, you
I
know what?
Put country Americana.
Here's my opinion. Here's my opinion on this. Here's my opinion on this for what it's worth. I think, unfortunately, what happens now, everybody's got to have a label for something. Everything is so totally over-labeled. To me, Americana. Yeah, when they started using that word Americana, and they would classify somebody. I can't remember. I'd gotten into a debate with somebody. This is about 10, 12 years ago, and they're saying, "Well, that's Americana." I said, "That's freaking folk music, man. That's what that."
What
now you're calling
Americana.
It Americana.
I don't know what it
but
is?
But it's folk music. That's all. Folk or country music. Now you're calling it Americana. You know, you have all these different styles of stuff. You know, and there's a lot of artists that really cross over. In a lot of ways, you know, I mean, you take a band like the Eagles or something like that. Well, it's got a kind of country flavor. Sometimes it's Southern, sometimes it's folky, sometimes it's hard rock,
right.
You know, so to try to categorize, that's what somebody was saying about this album, my album, they were saying about my album, they said it's kind of hard to pigeonhole you here because some of the stuff, it's piano driven music and some of it has they hear a little, you know, early Elton John influence, which of course his early stuff was a big influence of mine. But, you know, then somebody thought they heard Joe Jackson, somebody thought they heard Willie Nelson. So, you know, so to constantly kind of pigeonhole an artist into something I think is foolish because,
right.
You know, people can break out and do whatever they want to do. But yeah, that's a, Americana is kind of a bad word. I mean, you know, you can throw some bluegrass in there too. It covers so many things.
Thank you for clearing it up. I'm never labeling my music Americana for the rest of my life. I'm not considering it even, and I don't like it anyway. But it just, and we'll leave it at that. I have another comment, but I'm not making it because I learned in not just keep my show. GP rated, but I also learned certain things, opinions I just keep to myself. So with that,
yeah,
said,
no, this
I'm you for clearing it up. My music is definitely not Americana. Thank you for that.
Yeah. It's funny, but, you know, even like with the same thing, like the term, you know, rockabilly, for years I was Sonny Ken's drummer down there in Asbury. You know, Sonny's great. He's down in Florida now. And
yeah.
Sonny, for me, was always, you know, the king of rockabilly in Asbury Park, you know. But rockabilly itself, you know, you got a little bit of hillbilly music, you got a little bit of country, like got a little bit of the blues. You know, sometimes these things would cross over, and you really can't put a mark on it because, you could say, well, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, you can listen to some of Jerry Lee Lewis's stuff and say, yeah, well, that's definitely blues, but Jerry could cross the line into country, as could Ray Charles. You know,
yeah,
and somebody like Ray Charles could too, you know, so.
Rock and roll to me.
Yeah, you know,
Jerry,
but so you have all these, you have these crossovers, but people want to, for some reason, they want to put labels on everything. Man, you know what, I'll leave you with this, but my feeling with music, there's two types of music. There's good and bad, and that's up to the listener. That's completely, totally up to the listener. And it
that's
over
right.
End of the story. If you like the song, then you dig it. You know, if you don't, you don't. So to me,
that's
everything is left up to the listener. But so many people try to categorize stuff. You know, I don't know what that's about. I don't. But I'm breaking rules. I don't know. What's that?
Well, you know what? Just keep. I was going to go. When you go to CD Baby, and when you do your pro publishing with CD Baby, they ask you to put a category on your music. It's not like
you
can almost get away with it.
You know what we did? We didn't put one down.
Oh.
It just said other.
Well,
yeah, we put it down
other.
As other. I mean, you know,
okay.
If you listen to that album, you know, you can hear all kinds of stuff. And one of the some of the people who said to me, you know, when they finally listened to it, they said, man, this is a great album. They said, remember, you don't sound like anybody else. Well, you know what? That's good. I'm glad I don't.
Yeah,
I don't want to sound
gorgeous.
Like anybody else. I wasn't trying.
No,
I'm just trying to sound like me, you know. And I think I think everybody – I got a lot of emails and Facebook messages and everything from my friends up in Jersey when they heard it because people up there – had known me playing in the clubs, you know, the Wonder Bar, the Stone Pony, whatever, all up and down the Jersey Shore. They knew me as more of this, you know, kind of hard-hitting drummer, wild man, you know, hair flying, whiskey drinking, you know, and then all of a sudden, and then when they heard me sing songs, you know, well, I'm always imitating somebody else. You know, I'm doing Roger Daltrey, I'm doing Neil Young or John Fogerty, Robert Plant, whatever. And then all of a sudden they hear this album, they're like, you know, dude, like, what's all this love song stuff you got on here? You know, you're hearing my natural voice. That's the real me. Me writing, not that I'm saying it's a...
And song.
Exactly. The who, right. And
so,
that is the real me.
It was awesome. I enjoyed it so much.
You know,
so I enjoyed
that's
it
what
so
you're
much.
Hearing. That's what you're hearing.
Yeah, so much. Because a few times I did hear you sing, you know, which, I mean, you didn't, I had a lot, but when I knew you could sing, but when I listened to your album, it was a totally refreshing and new thing, and I did like your music, and I wish you the very best. I want to thank you for being a great guest on my show, Ryan Knox at Asbury Park.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I appreciate it. Thank you. Great talking to you again. Thank you.
Before we get going, I just want to ask you, because time, it went so fast. It always does. What in particular, to Dallas, what in particular said, I'm going to move to Dallas?
Oh, that was all my wife. That was my wife, Christine. She worked for AT&T. Yeah. And they wanted her down in Dallas really bad. And we had been down here, and then she got laid off right before COVID hit. So now she's working as a nurse. And here was me, an unemployed musician. But now we're starting to be employed again, thank God. So we're doing okay. We're doing all right.
And congratulations that you're going to be a social studies and history teacher.
Yeah, that's an emergency situation to fall back on. But thank you very much. Yes, I passed the Texas State test for social studies teachers. Yeah, I think it's amazing that I'm going into teaching at almost 60 years old, when most people my age, my generation, are retiring. But in case something happens, I had nothing to fall back on. So, yeah, I am able to teach high school social studies. So, but hopefully I'll have a hit song before that. That would even be better,
yeah, but
you know, and
what?
Then I don't have
you
to worry
what?
About it.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? I want to thank you because you've helped me, and you can't take it because I'm saying it publicly. You can't take this song. But, see, because of you, I'm writing a new song, and it's called
Oh, well.
What it's called. Because I'm getting ready to make a big, you know, some kind of like a career upgrade or change or something, and it's called It's Never Too Late to Change Lanes.
That's right. That,
that's
wow,
the
that's
name
great.
Of
that's...
my song. It's Never Too Late to Change Lanes.
Great title.
So,
great title. Love it.
Yep,
I love it. Absolutely love it.
And you inspired it. You inspired it.
Well,
because
I'm glad I could help. Thank
you,
Nancy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll give
thank
you credit.
You.
Title credit. Somebody was telling
thank
me
you.
I wrote that song for you. Anyway, well, with that said, I guess we covered it all. We covered it all, and it was a pleasure having you on. And do get in touch with me. Just send me a text if you're in Asbury. I'll rush on over no matter what I'm doing, unless I'm doing
okay.
a movie or a documentary or something, which I do those too. So I've been a busy girl lately. I'm doing a YouTube interview. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I've been featuring magazines. Holy moly, I said, and I said to people, come on, really? I mean, I really appreciate all that, but, like, I don't have any ego attached to any of this because I give all the credit to my creator anyway. So I would just write down in the Bible belt because, like, I'm a Jesus believer and in God. You know, I believe in God. I was raised a Catholic. I'm like, Bruce, once a Catholic, always a Catholic, even though I was baptized as a Presbyterian in San Diego.
Right.
But you know what? I love the South, too. I was a month and a half there. Everybody I met there, and I was in Louisiana. I've been to Baton Rouge. I've been down, you know, south. I've been to Georgia. I've been all over, and any other than the East Coast turns me on. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
They're going to kick me out of New Jersey now. Oh, well. Anyway, I loved Manhattan. I worked in Manhattan for years. But I got to go because I have to give a shout-out to my not-for-profits. And
you got it.
I got to go.
Okay, Nancy.
Great.
Well, listen, thank you. Thank you so much for having me again, okay? And hopefully, if I don't get to see you in July when I'm up there, I hope to get to see you in October when I'm back up in Jersey.
Yeah, maybe
okay?
in October. Well, I think I'm going to still be in Jersey. This will be probably my home base for the rest of my life. I intend on doing some traveling. But other than that, this is probably going to be my home base for the rest of my
very
Jersey.
Cool.
Like you said, unless I get a hit record or win the lottery, which I don't play the lottery, so that's not going to happen. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time out to be a guest. It was awesome. And everybody, go listen to that album. Go listen to it.
Well,
and
I appreciate that. Yeah, because that's going to get my wife the ranch in the hill country that I promised her. So I appreciate it, Nancy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
God, I hope I'm part of getting you that ranch because then I'm going to come and visit your ranch.
You let me know. All right. You take care.
You those big Rottweilers in another room when I come. Those big Rottweilers of yours. My daughter had one more thing. My daughter, Nina, she lives in Portland. So I go to visit. She knows I have, like, this fear of, like, German Shepherds. And not if they're in the family. I'm not afraid of dogs that I know or that are in my family because you're part of the pack. But dogs that I don't know, I was almost bit by a German Shepherd. So my daughter goes, Mom, now, before you come, you got to know, well, we do have three dogs and, like, five, four cats or something like that. She said, but I'm not telling you what breed they are. And I go, why, Nina? She goes, well, I'm not going to tell you, okay? So I said, all right, Nina. So she goes upstairs. The first dog the first dog she brings down. See, when you live this long, you have a lot of stories. The first dog she brings down is a female, totally full-on black pit bull. And then the second dog she brings down is a full-blown, enormous, biggest Rottweiler I have ever seen in my entire life. But I wasn't afraid of him because he was just a big old baby. And then the third dog was a Doberman Pinscher. I go, are you out of your mind? Anyway, but once she says, Mom, once they smell you and once they're with you and they're going to know you're my mother, don't worry about it. You're part of the pack. Oh, my God. I'm still nervous.
Exactly.
About
yeah,
that
yeah.
Music.
No, they're. You remember, it's generally it's never the dog's fault. It's usually the owner when something goes wrong.
I know.
So,
and that's what she said. She said, "Mom, they get a bad rap, those dogs, and you know it. They get a bad rap because
right,
they,
absolutely. So
they're the
right.
most loving dogs. Bye, Joe.
Well,
say hello to your lovely wife for me, and you keep
you
enjoying
got it, Nancy.
Dallas. Okay,
all right,
bye,
love
Joe,
you too. You take care.
Love you. Bye bye. Well, that was Joe DeAngelo. He was just so great to listen to his voice and hear him talk about his album because I just listened to it last night. But without further ado, I gotta go before they cut me off. They never do. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. You're so great to me. You're so wonderful. You let me go over time, and it says it stopped it, but they never cut me off. Nope, it's still going. Okay, really quick. I always give Gregory and Karen Nixon a shout out, even though they're not doing their not-for-profit anymore, because they did so much. Helping Hands of New Jersey. They just gave so much for so many years. My second was Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City of Lakewood, which is no more, unfortunately, but it is Lakewood Outreach. You can find these people on Facebook, and they have all been on my show. Art Ackerman, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Actually, he wasn't on my show, but he's going to be. The person that represented him, Allison Soho, was on my radio show. Great radio show, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. Guidango. It's a hard Italian name to pronounce. However, she is the president and CEO of, it used to be called Monmouth and Ocean County Food Bank, but it's called Fulfill, F-U-L-F-I-L-L. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of Tupac, T-O-P-A-C, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. And you know what that is. It's for Narcan, for everybody to be carrying that to help save lives. Mr. Tim McClune is a restaurateur, and he is the founder of Holiday Express, and they do so much and for so many years, and he's a great entertainer, musician, piano player, and during COVID, he's done wonderful shows from right on Facebook for everyone. Okay, here we go. Philip Richards. And it's with the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. They're on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And they have one of the best. They have such great programs there for men and women alike. They direct women where to go if they need help. But they also have one of the biggest and the most wonderful thrift stores in Asbury Park. It's like enormous. So if you go there and you'll be doing them a good favor by purchasing from them. One of my recent acquired not-for-profits is called Rami's Heart. And I had Rima Salmon, is how you pronounce her name, I believe. Her brother unfortunately passed away from COVID, as my brother Billy did, in March of 2020, and it's called Rami's Heart because they have all these wonderful rocks that people were sending her from all over and putting their loved ones' names on them and their date that they passed from COVID. And they're trying to create a place for the rocks, a museum, and also have a history of this terrible pandemic that we've experienced. I'm looking to take on a new not-for-profit, so I can't mention their name yet because it hasn't been approved yet. But when I do, I'll be back to number 10. I had to drop a sponsor, a not-for-profit who is no longer doing it. So, but I do have a few sponsors, and what I do is barter. I barter my promotion for if I happen to need some work. And so my first one is Dr. Ronald Chicklin, my latest one, and he is a dentist. He's on Sunset Avenue and Ocean and also has another office up in North Jersey, and he's phenomenal, and he does everything, all dentistry, implants, you name it, whatever you need, go to see Dr. Ronald Chicklin. Dr. David Marin, he is a chiropractor, and he is owner of the Marin Wellness Center, and they used to be in Shrewsbury, but now they're in Eatontown, and you can find them on Facebook as well. My third one is Dr. George Peck, Dr. George C. Peck, and it's the Peck Center in West Orange, New Jersey. He is a plastic and reconstructive surgeon. Now, unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately it is for me, I don't know, but no, it's not for plastic surgery. I haven't had any plastic surgery, but I did have an issue with my nose and breathing that he has helped me with several times. And I probably will have to see him. It's kind of a lifelong problem that I have from a very bad auto accident I had when I was in my early 30s. I'm lucky to have a nose, to tell you the truth. So a fourth one that I just took on, that I came across through a friend of mine, my best friend, told me, go and listen to Tina Beecher. And this is an unusual, she's just a wonderful person. And she's also a psychic and a medium. And, you know, she is just awesome. So I want you to go, you can contact Tina Beecher on via a private message on Facebook. But you can also listen to all of her shows on YouTube. And she is just fantastic. She's fantastic. I'm really interested. Just because I'm Catholic doesn't mean that I'm not interested in numerology and astrology. And, you know, I have a very inquisitive mind. So I'm interested in all of those things. And I believe that certain people have great psychic abilities. She also works with the police in trying to find missing children and missing persons. So she's just a wonderful person. And I am just lucky to have her. I'm going to use her as an additional spiritual advisor from time to time in return for my promotion. I love bartering. I think it's the greatest thing in the world, and I think it's coming back and has been for a few years now. So I highly recommend it. I'm going to give a shout-out to somebody I'm going to see at 5 o'clock, and that is, his name is Lorenzo, and he works for Supercuts on Highway 36 in West Long Branch. And my hair was down below. Oh, my God. I was sitting on it. So I am having a photo shoot for my new single on Friday. And he is going to, boy, do a really big cut-up for me. And he's a great stylist. And he was highly recommended to me. And so I'm going to see him at 5 o'clock. And he's going to fix me up. And I'm losing like, I've already lost about 12 inches. I'm going to lose another, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3. Or more. We'll see what happens when I get there. Because it's just too much. I just can't handle it anymore. I've had my hair long for so many years, as most people know from my photos. And it's just too much. It's too much to handle. So with that said, I'm going to sign off. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Till next time, I'm signing off. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. God bless us all. Bye-bye.